say, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I begin with verses 15 and 16. So Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and 16. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. Well, we have been picking some individual studies for some, I think this is the third or so now, and it's about various things, about the Holy Spirit, and I'm thinking tonight about how God speaks to us by the Spirit. How does he do it? Because very often there is so much confusion in these things. So people have all kinds of things they claim and tell us. What are they? Some people say, the Lord told me, his Spirit told me, I was moved of him, the Spirit stirred me up to do these things and things like this. What does the Scripture say? In fact, I admit that to do a good work on this would require a number of a treatment of this. But unfortunately, what I want to do is to give a kind of an outline. So to be just tonight, I don't hope to pursue that further. The Lord willing, possibly in the future, because I strongly desire that we begin a study on the life of Saul, King Saul. So this is only a single study, so it will be like the outline. But I hope it proves profitable, because the outline is quite clear in the Scripture that you know how the others fall into place. In a detailed study, for example, would have considered a majority of the cases where the Lord had spoken to people, and then would have seen the context and things like this also. So this is our purpose this evening. So I want to begin with the Old Testament scene, and then we'll go to the New Testament, and then I'll begin to speak a little more practically about some specific situations. Let me very quickly say that Christians walking with the Lord may come to a point, or may so walk with the Lord such that the Lord may so make his word powerfully clear in our hearts. Sometimes it can be as powerfully clear as if somebody actually whispered into our ears. These things do occur, and we'll try to explain them. Because remember a few weeks ago, last week, and then I think last week or so, we spoke about when the Lord enables us to walk close to him, sometimes our souls soar. We are so lifted in our hearts that the spiritual things become so real. And the things of earth begin to show how empty and pointless they are. And so we'll try to explain this. But let's begin here, my dear friends, because it sets the scene for us. Once again, verses 15 and 16, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. You know that in the New Testament, this great prophet is spoken of as the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy, or this statement here. However, the context showed that the ministry of the prophet was to reflect this. The Lord Jesus Christ would be the greater, glorious, more perfect prophet, but the ministry of the other faithful prophets were in mind also, because the context is from Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, remember that the Lord had appeared on Mount Sinai to speak with the people of Israel, and the sight was so terrible, was so frightening, that the people cried to Moses and said, oh, go and tell the Lord he should not speak to us directly. Rather, he should rather speak to you, and you will come to tell us. And here we are told the Lord said that what he said was wise, was good. And so in that context, that the Lord Moses is telling them, remember that Deuteronomy is a kind of a repetition of that which has happened. Now they are there. I should have told you right at the beginning. Now they are the plains of Moab, just about to enter into the promised land. So they are no longer traveling. They are really almost getting ready to enter the promised land now. And Moses will shortly be taken away from them. And so he reveals their history to them. And so this is a kind of a review of what had happened in Exodus chapter 20, where the people said that the Lord should not speak directly to them. Rather, he should speak to Moses and then to them. And so from then on, the Lord said, so what I would do is I would speak to the prophet, and he will speak to you. I will turn to that passage in Numbers very soon. But the point I'm trying to make is that if established the ministry of prophets, ultimately it will be the Lord Jesus Christ who is fully pictured here. But it lays the foundation for the work of the prophet. So what were they supposed to do? It is to receive the word of the Lord and give it to the people. Why was this necessary? Because a direct communication of the Lord to the people was hard to bear. They couldn't bear it because of the glory of God and even of his majesty. It was so difficult for them. So they could not bear, they could not continue. Remember, God had come on the top of the mountain, the entire mountain was in flames, and then the mountain was shaking, and the people were so terrified and say, oh, don't let God speak to us directly like that. And as you see now, verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken, that which they have said is right, is correct. Because it's difficult. So if it is difficult, why did the Lord do that? So these people realize they are need for that ministry of the prophet. A man, a person whom God will qualify, he will give his word to them, and then he will communicate it unto his people. And so that's the foundational thing. You remember also, dear friends, similar experiences in Scripture. Even the case of Elijah, you would remember in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah was running away from Jezebel and had gone into Mount Horeb, the same incidentally, the same Mount Horeb, he had traveled all the way from the north of Israel, Samaria, and gone all the way down to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and had gone into one of the hills and was trying to be alone. And the Lord revealed himself there. Remember how we are told that the fire passed by, the wind passed by, God was not in that. And then there was that still small voice. Even with the still small voice, remember what Elijah did? He had to cover himself because of the sight. Dear friends, now the very first point is that if God were to speak directly to us, we can't bear it. We can't. He's such a glorious God. It will consume us. We would die at his feet. You remember, even Daniel's experience, that was sometimes in a vision. Daniel said, the one I fell at his feet as if I were a dead person, he had to wake me up. And in one case, when he rose up, he could not even stand on his feet. And so so the first thing we must bear in mind is that a hearing from the Lord directly is a very difficult thing for flesh and blood, because God is the Almighty God and we are such small creatures before him. If we understood this, then it would not only let us appreciate the ministry of the prophet, but it would let us be so slow in claiming, oh, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, as people do these days. So the outline we are getting from the Old Testament is that the voice of the Lord speaking directly to his people was so unbearable. And so the Lord said, well, I will give you the ministry of the prophet. They will receive my word, and then they would tell you that. And so you remember in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6, Numbers chapter 12 verse 6, you remember when Moses' relatives, Aaron and Miriam, have spoken against Moses, and the Lord was rebuking them. This is what the Lord said in verse 6, Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. And he, this is the Lord speaking, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The point there is in verse 6 there, where the Lord said that if there's a prophet among you, this is how I will reveal myself to him. I will reveal myself to him through dreams and vision, so that even the prophets themselves were not able to bear it every time.
And the Lord said that Moses, I speak to him face to face. Well, it doesn't mean that Moses did see the form of God. Of course, the Bible tells us no one can see the Lord. And so Moses didn't see the form of God. But there was such a clear, personal communication between Moses and the Lord. But remember Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us of what happened in Exodus. That when God came to speak with the people, including Moses, Moses himself cried to God and said, "Lord, I'm terrified." So even Moses himself, equipped by God to be able to receive this mouth-to-mouth communication, as our passage tells us, he said, "I quake with fear." He was terrified. And so from that point, we must always bear in mind, is that really, really an extraordinary thing for God to speak very directly to us. We cannot bear it unless he veils it, unless he really veils it in some form to us before we can ever bear that. Now, I'm not getting into the work of the prophets entirely now, because I'm tempted to do that. And so when these prophets, when God is giving them his word, one of the things God did to make sure that they never, I mean, the office, the ministry of the prophets didn't become a thing that was abused, the prophet will be authenticated, will be given the grace for signs and wonders to follow him, to show that he's a servant, a prophet of the Lord. Remember, back in a passage in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord himself said it. I'm just pointing this out, and I'm not stopping here very much. Back to Deuteronomy 18, when the Lord said he would send up prophets, then he said that it is the prophet you should listen to. And then verse 21 and 22, once again, 21 and 22 confirms the fact that what he said in the prophet he spoke about ultimately refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also anticipated the ministry of the other prophets. So, it's here, verse 21. "And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Then the answer is in verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the..." "That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. If the thing he spoke about didn't come to pass, he's a liar. Don't be afraid of him. God didn't send him." And then, remember in chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13, he said that even if it came to pass, chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. "If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying..." You see, the sign comes to pass. But afterwards he says, "Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." You see, as if it came to pass, the thing that he said came to pass, listen to his teaching. What will he teach you? Will his teaching draw you away from what you know already to be a very clear teaching that God has already given you? Then don't listen to him. He has not been sent by the Lord. And so you see, there was a beautiful arrangement by God. So you would say, "Oh, but what about the other prophet that didn't do any miracles, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, and others?" What God did was this. That he always, all of them, or at least most of them, the others I'll mention shortly, most of these, the Lord gave them the capacity to make a prediction that would happen in their lifetime. So that you can believe that they are servants of the Lord, so that when they predicted concerning the future events too, you could be sure that it will come to pass, because the ones that they predicted during their lifetime came to pass. And then those that did not have any predictions at all had future predictions only. What God did was to make sure that the other prophets who had been authenticated by either predictions or some miracles spoke about them or confirmed their ministry, so that you see a very close a similarity between the messages of Prophet Isaiah and that of Micah, for example. And so these things are there to be studied. But I just mentioned this to see that now we cannot directly hear from the Lord. The Lord raises prophets, He equips them, gives them His word, so that they will speak to us. And so His word becomes the ultimate thing. So, and so that the scripture itself comes to say, the scripture is the superior voice of the Lord to us. It's the superior voice of the Lord to us. So that all others must come under that. So we are told clearly in the prophet Isaiah, but it's not here alone, but I'm turning to only this for Old Testament. You know, in prophet Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Prophet Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that matter, should not a people seek unto their God? So we should seek our God instead of going to these people with familiar spirits. For the living to the dead, and then look at verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. This is the scripture. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they will not speak according to what the Bible said, they only have darkness in their souls. What they are saying cannot be from the Lord. You see. And so, so this is kind of the outline, you see. The individual details would have been beautiful to have explored. But the Lord's words are so overpowering, overwhelming, we cannot bear it. God raises prophets to speak to us, and His words which they give us, which they will write down, the Lord says, this is the superior message. This is the one from which every word must come from. This is the one from which every word will be tested and proved. And that only, you see. You come to the New Testament and you find a similar pattern. So I call it an outline. Because it's here. And then let me begin with Hebrews chapter 12. Because here, the terrifying experience of the Old Testament and the new situation in the New Testament is addressed in Hebrews chapter 12. And then I'll come to the pattern themselves. So Hebrews chapter 12 and then verse 18, beginning from verse 18. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. So contrasting our situation in the New Testament with that of the Old. And you know that he's referring to that Sinai experience we spoke about in Deuteronomy 8 and Exodus 20. And ye, for ye, that we New Testament Christians, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. So that's familiar, isn't it? For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So that's the experience he's experiencing. And he said, that's not where we have come. Our experience is not like the people at Mount Sinai. So what is it, verse 20? But ye are come unto Mount Sinai, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. In other words, we have come to a spiritual community of made Christians who are made perfect, as well as with God Himself. We have this work, but how have we come without the experience of the terrifying situation we find in the Old Testament? Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so, we come through Christ. We come and draw from Christ. We depend entirely on Him. This is why Calvary is so pivotal for us. This is why all approaches to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not in the Old Testament have a clear view of the Savior. Even the believers among them only had not an entirely clear view, but here we are. We are given a clearer view of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done. He's come as our mediator. Therefore, we can go to the Father through Him. He Himself is God, very God of very God. And we have access to the Father through Him. So Christ has brought on a mighty change, a mighty blessing, making it possible to draw near. But, dear friend, even with that, listen to what it says. Does that remove how serious it is to be spoken to by God? No, it doesn't. Look at that. So we are able to draw near through the sprinkling of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet look at the warning. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And then, this is a summary, you know, verses 28, 29 for us. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Even in the New Testament, we are still dealing with a God who is like consuming fire. Now, our privileges are far greater than the people of the Old Testament. But the point is this. We still must learn reverence. We still must learn to be careful when we are talking about the things of God. We still must be careful when we are claiming things about God. Because if I claim things about God that is not true, and it's only an imagination, I'm being irreverent, and I'm dealing with a God who is a consuming fire. He put a great care upon us, you see. So though the terror, the physical outward terror is no more, yet we bear in our hearts the same, in fact, higher reverence, nobler sense of responsibility, of being careful that we represent the Lord in the New Testament, because we have a clearer view of who God is and of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Now, this is just like the transition I want to speak about from the Old Testament situation and our beautiful, privileged situation in the New Testament. Now, see the same pattern again. I'm sorry to be flipping, but I hope it isn't confusing. This is the purpose of a Bible study, dear friends, so I hope you bear with me. So we come to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and then all of you may be familiar with this passage, verses 1 to 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world and the glories of Christ follow. So you see the same thing. Christ makes a huge difference. God is spoken to us by his Son now. In these last days, what is the last days? The beginning of the New Testament era. He is spoken to us by his Son. All we need to know is found in Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ had told his disciples that all truth will be given to them so that it be written for us. And so you have scripture in view again. And so chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. You see the similar thing. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He is God's final revelation to us. He speaks to us. And then he sends us the apostles to to receive the fullness of the revelation and give to his people. And in order for us to know that they are God's apostles, they are giving signs and wonders to authenticate, like the Old Testament picture again, you see. They are giving signs and wonders to authenticate them, to prove them to be disciples or the apostles of God, who will give us the revelation of God. And you remember that these apostles, at least the Lord Jesus Christ, took three of them, Peter, James, and John, to the Mount of Transfiguration. In fact, we still do not know which of the mountains. There was one closer down, and the other on the way up there, Mount Hermon. We do not know whether it's Mount Tabor or the one Hermon on the farther side, which one it was. But it was one of them. And on this mountain, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured. He was entirely changed before their eyes. And then you remember in that passage, it's recorded in the three Gospels. In Matthew's 1, Matthew 17, verse 6, we are told that when they heard the Lord speak, bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they all fell down out of fear. You see, the same, a direct communication, even to apostles, was terrifying. So they fell down. And so, you have the same thing. Moses, the Lord says, speaking to you directly is terrifying. I will send you my prophet who will receive the word and give to you. I will authenticate them with signs and wonders so that nobody becomes an imposter, going around that, so that my word comes to you. And then we have the concluding word that the scriptures, the law and the testimony, the language for the scriptures, is the superior revelation given, the superior voice of the Lord given unto us. We come to the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very center of the fullness of revelation of both old and new, because all are fulfilled right in himself. And with the Lord Jesus Christ too, we have the same thing. He must let this message go into the world through his apostles. He takes at least three of these to the mountain. They have an experience that proves that this is an overpowering experience, and that it was enough that they heard from him. And then when they themselves, those who saw this, they had to go and bear witness. The Lord authenticating their witness with signs and wonders. Now, this is the conclusion they themselves bore after this. Again, showing the superiority of Scripture's message to us. Okay, and I'm telling you two passages. I go first of all to 2 Peter chapter 1. So 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, the Apostle Peter makes reference to that Mount Transfiguration experience. And so, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, we read down from 16 to 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Friends, just for a moment, you see why it was so important that God should secure his revelation? Because they could be imposters. As he said, we did not follow a cunningly devised fables. We didn't make our stories and then deliberately make them appear believable. We didn't do that. We actually were eyewitnesses. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So it's a transfiguration experience, isn't it? Now, look at what Peter adds in verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. When we were with him in the holy mount, we heard it, actually the three of us. Then, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. There was that experience which we were witness, but that's a more sure word, a far more clearer, more superior revelation. It is not because that one wasn't true, but of course that one was a message that came from the Lord. And then it was witnessed by only three of them. But it has to be a sure word, a more firmer word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take it. Which one should you listen and expect? From the more sure word, ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It is like now you have a clearer message by that sure word of prophecy. And he explains further, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture, remember, when the Bible, New Testament speaks of prophecy of scripture, it's not referring to predictions only. I'm sure you know. We say that when scripture talks of prophecy, it's speaking about the entire revelation of scripture, because it involves a foretelling and then foretelling. I'm sure we are all aware of this kind of thing. Speaking of the present, the message of the Lord for the present as well as for the future. And so, I said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. They did not create this privately, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is helpful. And so when the prophet spoke, they were speaking the very words of the Spirit, because the Lord was with them. And then they saw. Peter tells us that, remember that wonderful experience we had on Mount Transfiguration. It was wonderful. And now we heard the Lord speaking to us directly. But this is the more permanent, ongoing pattern, the words of prophecy, which is given to you, which you should listen, which you should obey. John says the same thing. He didn't make reference to the Transfiguration specifically, but he speaks with a similar clarity, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And what he adds is quite helpful. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. So what is he talking about? Well, they as apostles saw, and were eyewitnesses, isn't it? Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Who is this? The Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And then look at what he adds. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. What is it saying? We were those who saw, we handled, we touched. We were the ones to be granted those. But this is God's purpose, that we should declare them to you. And that when you listen to what we tell you, declare them to you. How did they declare them to us? From the epistles, isn't it? If you listen to this, you will have fellowship with us. You have communion with us. You know the Greek word is participation. You participate in what we experienced. And in fact, this participation, this fellowship, is not just with us, the apostles, but with the Lord himself. So what is he saying? If you will listen to us as apostles, you would enjoy the same wonderful walk with the Lord as we did, even though you may not have been the one who physically saw him and literally heard him speaking to your ears. You see that? If you will listen to us, our words will be as profitable, as helpful, as the Lord speaking to you directly, because he spoke to us, we saw it, heard him directly, but you didn't. But if you will listen to us, you would know these things also. You know, in those days when I was in charismatic practices, so one of the things that they said always in you, see, you read the scripture and you said, oh, so why did the angel appear to that woman? Wow, I really wish you would appear to me too. See, this is you want a kind of direct, similar experience. Why? Read the Bible and see. You see how the Lord spoke to Philip, telling him directly to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. I want him to speak to me like that. No, that would be more wonderful. Remember that such a desire, you have a similar situation with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man said that, I want somebody to go and warn people of my house. And he said, Abraham told him that, no, they have the prophets. Let them listen to them. And they said, no. If someone will come from the dead and speak to them, they will believe. And then he said, if they will not listen to the prophets, even if somebody rose from the dead, they will not believe. My dear friend, human don't be deceived. But if people wouldn't listen to the word of God, let heaven itself open up and a voice come down. They still wouldn't. Human nature is very, very corrupt. Sin is so badly dealt with us that we would not believe him if we would not believe his word. So my dear friend, the starting, what we're trying to say is this. The Bible tells us the superior way of communication from God to us is by his word, scripture. When he spoke directly, when he gave the vision, when he gave the dream to these selected men, the prophets and things like this, his purpose was exactly to avoid having to speak to us directly. So that these who receive his message, write them down, then this will be a more sure word. You can always come back to that. You can always come back to that. And so, my dear friends, this is a thing we must always remember. You know, scripture tells us again and again that the Bible itself is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know that. Do I have to turn to a number of passages to show this? I'm sure you all know. A number of places where we are told that, for example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 16, when Peter was speaking, he was saying that, and the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. And so when David spoke, he wasn't speaking from his wonderful experience. He was speaking the very words of the Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. And David himself in 2 Samuel, when he was talking about God's dealings with him, he said that, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. And so, we have to be so clear about this. But my dear friends, having said that, let me begin to come to a close with the other things. So, what about some sudden impulses? Don't you feel those sudden impulses? Sometimes there are some strong impressions upon our minds. And some Christians say this kind of thing. There may be a strong impression on your mind. Maybe somebody, a number of people who say this kind of thing. Usually when I would say, people would say, I'm not referring to myself now. Usually when I go from work, I walk this way. But today, that day, something was impressing me to rather choose the second route. And lo and behold, when I chose it, there was somebody there who really needed my help. And I helped him, and he saved his life. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Don't you say this kind of thing? Some of these things can be very real and very sincere. And we dare not condemn them. We do not condemn these. Because as people whose hearts are for the Lord may give us such impressions. The only thing is, you don't call them authoritative. And you don't live in anticipation of them. Do we understand, dear brethren? You don't anticipate them because God hasn't promised them. He may do that, yes. You see. And the Lord has used that to sometimes to deliver others. Sometimes, you know, they can be, we call them only pious impressions. It's very helpful, my dear friends. It's helpful to take the Bible, it helps you to take the Bible seriously. When some of these very pious things have proved to be a lie, a wrong thing, then you see that, I should be careful. I remember that our great Baptist preacher, George Whitfield, had a very warm concern about his son, and one time he said he believes he's impressed and a kind of almost an influence of the Spirit. He wouldn't put it that way, but something almost like that, that his son will grow up to become a preacher. He never did. And so you better be careful. So we do not deny them. Problem, the only thing is, don't make them authoritative. And then I would turn to scripture and give another counsel. I think I've told some brethren here before. In those days when you're involved in charismatic things, oh dear, you can be in your room and then I'll be speaking in tongues for hours. I always remember this particular experience. I think it was one of the things that began to shake me, because I was in this room and I was really praying in tongues for so long. And I had a small book with me. You know, in the local church I was there as a young person, they thought that I was a prophet, you know, because I sometimes give prophecies. And I mentioned this to it makes me a bit embarrassed anyway, but they put so much confidence in me. I was a young person, you know, probably around 18 or 19 or so. Too much confidence. People will say, hey, if you are sick, you went to Ben's room. By the time you are out, you are healed already. Something like that. Those are these kind of crazy things. But the point was this. So when I was praying then, I thought that the Lord was speaking to me. Some thoughts were really coming to my mind. And I decided to write them down. I wrote all of them down. And then after a while, well, I shut it in. Roughly after 2 years, I was flipping through this booklet. And I saw that message. I was so ashamed. I tore them into pieces. This is rubbish. This is nonsense. Well, partly because my understanding in scripture had grown at the time. Dear friend, the Lord can impress our hearts and our minds. But the thing is this. We must be people who truly love the word. We must be people who truly embrace the scriptures. Because, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, John chapter 14. And verse 26. Maybe this will be the last passage. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This to the apostles would have included all that they needed to know to be able to give us the New Testament. But it has a relevance to us also. The Holy Spirit would teach us things that we need to know. If we come to the Word of God, He would teach us. But also, He would bring things to mind. He would remind us of things. You see, He will not remind me if I am not studying the Bible. You know, those who are likely to be knowing the reminders of the Spirit will be those who have stored so much of Scripture in their hearts. We are creatures of forgetfulness. And so we praise the Lord for this blessing, so that He brings to our minds a truth. Sometimes it is not, I'm not saying it's truth, does not mean He would always suggest to our mind a verse. It can be that. Other times it can be that verse made plain. I never understood it clearly that. But friend, the rule is this. We must fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. This is the superior revelation. And we should not anticipate any other form. Because this is the authoritative communication to us. And whenever there's any kind of experience that brings scripture to remembrance, brings some truth to remembrance, if we are clear of the truth it brings to remembrance, we can follow it. However, if we are not sure, then don't feel obliged to follow it. Because we are commanded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21. To prove all, in other words, test all things and choose that which is good. So we must test all things. So here am I. I felt an impression. It seems so, and as I said at the beginning, if I love the Lord and His word is so precious to my heart, sometimes this remembrance can be as sharp as if there was a specific voice to me. But you would know, of course, that that's a scripture. This is what the Bible teaches. Because I may be forgetting a duty. I may be forgetting something I should be doing. Or perhaps my heart may be growing cold. How many Christians have not said the same thing? That sometimes what God used to awaken them from coldness some Bible reading or a sermon they had listened to some time ago. And here they were, foolishly growing cold in spiritual things. And it comes so powerfully to mind again. And it stirs in their hearts a desire now to walk with the Lord. Sometimes it can be a reproof. The strange thing is, as we're speaking about emotions of the Spirit last week, the strange thing is that we don't want to touch an aspect that's challenging. Because sometimes what the Spirit will bring to mind will be something that really rebukes us. So we may have chosen a path which is not acceptable to God. And if I am sincere and I really want to please the Lord brings to mind these scriptures, all these truths, and they stir my heart to see and understand more clearly what I've done or what I have not done. And so these things can be wonderful to us. And you know, the Lord can use them to lift us in them in times of trouble and distress. Oh dear friends, has He not done that? A time when you are so troubled and down, your problems seem to overwhelm you, difficulties in life, and then you are almost down. And then, as we said, it's like sometimes like a lie surprises the Christian while he sings. It's one of our hymns. A truth surprises you. A truth you've learned and known. You've not seen how much comforting it can be. It comes home to you. You are given grace to believe it and to embrace it. And it enlightens your heart. Lifts you up of that. Why, my dear friends, these things are precious. These things are true. These things are for us. The Spirit of the Lord who do these things. The thing is, whenever these things come, what it leads you to do, what it seems to be moving you to do, check out and see if this is Scripture. If it is a Scripture, you are not sure, don't feel move that I must do it. If I don't do it, oh dear friends, so in those times, on these charismatic things, if you delayed in this, and somebody would say, oh, you are grieving the spirit. So some of these prophecies, you go and say, you know, brother, sister, God says that today, before you go, leave in the offering some 10,000 Ghana cedis. You feel obliged. You feel okay, this is the word of the Lord, I must obey it. Please, I'm sorry. I was going to use a strong word. But I remember when we were young, it was this form rather. I hope everybody has said this before. When a young man is a coward and really wants to marry a lady, he goes to the lady and says, sister, God says I should marry you. And I remember when we were young, and a very experienced Christian brother told us that if somebody came to you and said that God has told me to marry you, simply tell him, oh, please wait until God tells me to. So if it's God who told you, why did he tell you alone? And not me too? Because he would have spoken to both, wasn't it? And so, friend, the thing is this. If the person came to you and said that, madam, brother, the Holy Spirit has told me, before you leave church, to leave a check of 10,000 cedis. Thank you, sir. I think I'm going to pray over that too, and ponder that carefully, and see if the Lord tells me to. Don't feel obliged. Don't feel bound. The Lord, if you are His child too, why would He speak to somebody and not you, even though He wants you to be the one to obey? Why? And if I'm not a child of God, why does he want me in his things anyway? You see. And so, no, we don't do that. So, whenever you are not sure, never feel more to do it. Take time to be sure. And where would you find your assurance? Only from clear scripture principles. I close with this. One of the things that make people really take advantage of us is that some people do not know that the scriptures speak about every single situation. If you knew how to apply the principles as well as the precepts and the examples, we'll be able to find scripture light on every single situation in our lives. And if we are sincere in obeying the Lord, if by that we have heard, we can always trust in God's overruling power. And so this is our assurance, you see. And so we don't let anybody. Listen, there's this kind of thing that makes, suppose, prophets and pastors take people as slaves. And they must do according to their word. This is that. The Lord told me that today, when I come to Bible study, by the time we close, we should all form a circle and hold our hands and pray something like that. So, Pastor, how can we be sure? Also, we should ask, how can we be sure that indeed this is what the Lord wants us to do? Why did He tell you alone? Meanwhile, you have to tell all of us. The only way anyone can speak authoritatively is when He can show you the thing. Look at it here. And then when we are persuaded, we are obliged to obey once we are shown. One of the things I really long that people will remember. Oh, friends, I closed, you know, last week when I was going back to Cape, because I was in this Ford minibus, and I brought somebody. These things I was painful to listen. Somebody's come to this radio station who's talking about all the kind of spiritual experiences he had under the water and all these kind of strange things. And you know, the question that should have come people's mind always and always this: Sir, how do I know you are right? Sir, how do I know you are not a liar? Oh, take me at my word, please, but who are you? Should I bet my life on your tongue? Bet my whole life on your tongue? God will never be that unkind, dear friends. And in the New Testament, we who are children of God, you know that what we, the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, you know, we speak, it means that all of us will have access to truth. If we'll be willing to learn, if we'll be willing, be humble enough to study, it may not come overnight. Somebody may understand it quickly than I, but gradually we can all be shown, because there's an authoritative rule that we always pointed to. Remember Isaiah chapter 8. If he's not speaking according to this word, he's not a super spiritual man. He has darkness in his soul. He's not speaking by the Spirit. He is speaking exactly as somebody whose heart is ruled by the powers of darkness, with darkness filling the heart. If he will not speak according to this word, and once we have believed the word, then God, by His Spirit, will sometimes move us, stir us, bring it to mind when we are forgetting, when we are in circumstances that we've forgotten what to do. He may bring them so powerfully, refreshingly into our hearts, sometimes also rebuking us or something like that. These things would happen, but they will conform with what the Lord has already said. Oh, my dear friends, this is just an outline. I hope it has been some help. God knows that a direct speaking with us would be overpowering, overwhelming. We cannot bear that. And so His method has been, I will select a man I call prophets and give my word. They themselves will show you how they were trembling when they were receiving the word, but I will equip them and make them able to take that word and bring them to you. And that word they give you will be the superior word from me. Old Testament, New Testament, this will be the same. So His word alone is a superior word. So that if anybody will not speak according to this word, he's not a superior spiritual person. Rather, he has darkness in his heart. And therefore, in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one authority, and that's the word of God. In the Christian's personal walk with the Lord, there's only one voice he listens to. That's the word of God. The Holy Spirit was sent, not to be sending us other messages that are not already here. He was given to us to remind us of that which is here already. The Savior has already taught us and revealed them here. Bring them to mind. Make them fresh. Use them to stir our hearts to spiritual duty, to spiritual joy, and to sometimes an uplift that makes, as I said, no, sometimes the soul can soar. You are reading your Bible, meditating upon that, and the Lord grants so much understanding, and your heart is so moved, and your appreciation is so deep, and you are desirous to live in that truth The soul can soar sometimes. These are wonderful things. We do not deny deep and wonderful experiences at all. We say they will be deeply scriptural, because this is the higher and nobler and the topmost experience. Anything outside that is not super spirituality is darkness. May the Lord help us, my dear friends.